Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Happy Monday. Yeah, everyone's psyched, right?
Yeah, who needs a weekend when you can go back to work?
Mark is off today. He's working. He's at his Fox Summit. Yes. Not a convention. Not a symposium. No, it's a summit. And that voice you just heard, the one and only Chad Brown.
Chad Brown.
Chad Brown. All right. Man, how you doing, my man?
I'm fantastic, man.
Thanks for getting up early.
Oh, no problem. You know, when these days do happen, I enjoy the sunrise part of the day.
Well, you'll see it here in a little bit.
Yes.
I assume it's going to come up. If it doesn't come up, we got a story.
We got problems.
We got a story.
We got way more problems than just a quarterback situation.
Benny, get the breaking news music ready. Sun did not rise. We in trouble. So how you been? You good? I know you and I were just talking right before the show started. You're going to be doing one of the Bronco preseason games.
Correct.
For Channel 9.
Yeah. So this time of year, it's funny. The internal time clock from the playing days never goes away. Never goes away. So beginning of July, you start to get a little anxious. Your competitive juices start flowing a little bit more. And then for me, obviously, I'm not going to training camp anymore, but I'm preparing for the next 6 months of football. So whether it's Nine News, whether it's coming in here, whether it's calling games for Compass Media or Pac-12 or whatever the case, you know, is going to be for me, it's all football from here on out. So trying to get all my business stuff in order, trying to get my affairs in order, as people say, so I can go off and be captain football for the next 6 months. And yes, to your point, I will be doing the Broncos' second preseason game up in Seattle.
Nice homecoming.
Yes, Greasy and Levy have another assignment, so I will take over for week two. So looking forward to that, man. It should be a fun time.
Yeah, you get to do the second preseason game. Now, many people feel that by the end of that second game, the game you call, you, Vic Fangio, Broncos country, should announce and be able to call a winner in this quarterback duel instead of waiting for it to play out through the third and final preseason game. You there?
I think like everybody, I hope it happens by that point. If there's anybody who's like, no, we need to push this thing all the way through week three, they're definitely in the minority. I think every football person would love to have at least that last week of the preseason and that first week of the regular season to get whoever is going to be named the starter a sense of continuity with the ones. I know they want to go 50-50, and I know they want to see both guys. But at some point, there becomes a difference in cadence and tempo and, you know, how a certain player puts his hands under the center's butt. All those things begin to matter and become magnified in a way. And if you're constantly going back and forth, the true rhythm, the true continuity of it all can't really be assessed.
All right, so let's get you sort of up to speed on record. Where are you at when it comes to this whole Bridgewater versus Locke competition? Do you have a favorite? Are you rooting for somebody? How do you sort of handicap this whole thing? What's best for the Broncos? Just simply the best man wins? Is it a setback if Drew doesn't take the job because Bridgewater has a perceived, you know, ceiling to what he can provide? Where are you at with all that?
Okay, you asked me, I think there was 17
questions.
There's
17 questions.
Okay.
That was a Clough question.
Sandy Clough. I think Sandy would still be going. You covered off 17. Sandy would probably be going for 34 in there. For me, I don't have a dog in the fight. I understand that if Drew Locke becomes a guy, that's probably better for the Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater's under a 1-year contract. Then suddenly you got to pay him all kind of money. And with all the upcoming free agents, that just complicates things if he becomes a guy. I think Well, at least going into training camp, my thought was Teddy would become the guy just because he's safer with the football. We've got a defensive-minded head coach who wants to play the game through his defense. Most defensive-minded head coaches don't want a risky quarterback. They want a safe quarterback. And the difference between the two quarterbacks has kind of played out here in the first couple of practices of training camp. I think Drew's reined in a bit over last year, but Teddy's definitely checked down Teddy, safe Teddy. Until the other day when he had the three interceptions. Mm-hmm. But those weren't because he wasn't being safe. Two of them were tipped balls. So, you know, it's more of a, you know, just be aware of the pass rush. You know, the defensive line being coached enough now to get your hands up every single time kind of thing, as opposed to Teddy suddenly forgot he was Teddy Bridgewater and decided to become Drew Lock for the day. That wasn't the case. Both guys are still playing completely within themselves.
So it sounds to me, talking to you as a defensive guy, your defensive bias is shining through here. In the sense that you, if you were part of this defense, would prefer Bridgewater because he's not going to make the kind of mistakes that put you, member of this defense, in a tough position.
Yeah.
Whereas Locke is just, you know, maybe he's just a little bit too unpredictable for you as a defensive player stays. The idea being, hey, listen, we understand. We carry the responsibility. Most of the talent is on the defensive side. Certainly the money is on the defensive side. Give us a chance to go out and do what we're supposed to do, but give us a quarterback that won't put us in a tough situation.
So, you just said everything I was going to say.
All right. You're a Bridgewater guy.
No, but I'm not rooting. If Drew Lock can become a guy who plays safe, then great. But until then, if you're going to win the game with your defense, if you have a defensive-minded head coach, if you've got 60%+ of the salary cap taken up by your defense, then you lean to that side of the ball. That's where you have more all-pros and pro bowlers. You lean to that side of the ball, and you hope your quarterback and your offense does no harm. And if that's the whole doctor's model of do no harm, then it's got to be Dr. Bridgewater over Dr. Locke every time.
Chad Brown sitting in, coming up. What about this defense? What are Chad's thoughts on a defense that over the first 2 years with Vic Fangio hasn't been as dominant as was advertised? Why not? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
With a Chad Brown sitting in for Stink, who is at his Fox Summit. That's when all the heavyweights at Fox Broadcasting for Fox Football get together and go over the season at some opulent hotel. I don't know exactly what they do.
Have you been to
these summits? What are they like?
They are, you know, the president of the network swings by, the head of sports marketing swings by, the head of sports programming swings by. There's a little bit of an HR moment when they talk about new HR issues. They talk about the political and social climate out there. Make sure you tread lightly when talking about these topics. There's going to be someone who's going to talk about the rules and any rule changes. Any new technology for the broadcast, a new telestrator, a new this, a new that. So all those things are discussed. So you as a broadcaster can walk into that first Fox game confident, ready to roll.
Ready to roll. Well, we'll be seeing, and maybe you get your schedule then too, right? Maybe,
I would hope that
maybe Mark will find out his schedule when he comes back on Wednesday. He'll be able to tell us if he has any Bronco games. He's gotten a couple Bronco games each of the last few years, so hopefully get a chance to see him on at least one.
I would certainly think so.
And wouldn't you think so?
As much as they are trying to cut costs, Mark lives here. It just seems to make sense.
Good point. John asks, what's the latest chat on a birthday dunk for all of those wannabe dunkers? We need an inspirational story.
Well, John, I hate to disappoint you, my friend, but Chad's dunking days are behind him. Not that I don't think I'm physically capable. I'm just afraid of getting hurt. 51 years old. And so last year, turning 50, I think will be my last year of dunking. You know, I had to go downstairs. I had to warm up. I had to ride the bike for a while before I could pull it off. I was sore for a couple of days. Hadn't done that much kind of jumping in a while. And the thought of blowing an ACL or, you know, ripping up my Achilles just so I could post a dunk on social media.
What a way to go, though.
Achilles!
I'm sure I would get lots of retweets if I, you know, blew an Achilles and put
it
up on
video,
Twitter.
That'd be great. But I watch a grown man blow out his wheel.
I think the 6 months of rehab would definitely suck.
Do you think you could do it?
Do I think? Yes. I am confident physically I could pull it off.
Yeah, that's enough then.
And it is.
It is enough.
Just at 51 years old.
You could do it.
Yes, it's the whole young bull, old bull thing.
Yeah.
The old bull knows what he can do. The young bull has to constantly go out and prove it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Speaking of proving things, this is what we call in the business.
Segue. How about that?
What's the deal with this defense? For 2 years now, I've watched all the talent be on the defensive side of the ball, the money be on the defensive side of the ball. Vic Fangio came in. Hey, you may have questions about whether or not he can be a head coach. You still have questions after 2 years about whether or not he could be a head coach. But one thing is not up for debate. This guy is a defensive genius, a defensive guru. Wade Phillips said a couple years ago when it looked like the Broncos were getting Fangio, he said, best in the business as a defensive guy. Best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's a healthy endorsement coming from Wade. So why hasn't this defense been better these last 2 years?
Okay, I think year one, we would give Fangio a little bit of a pass. Sometimes it takes some time to install your defense. You don't always get through all the layers of the onion. And now in year two, obviously there was a ton of injuries on that side of the ball as well. So I'm trying to come up with something to be nice. But just because you
have to be nice.
But just because you have a defense, you've got your X's and O's scheme. But if you're not the guy installing it, if you're not the guy emphasizing it all, is it really yours anymore? You know what I mean? In Seattle, Mike Holmgren was the head coach. It was his offense that he, you know, took and modified from Bill Walsh. So it was his scheme, but he was not the guy installing it. And twice a game, probably in Seattle, Mike would lose his cool so much so to the point where he could not call the next couple of plays. He would have to have the plays come down from the booth because someone wouldn't run the play correctly. And I'm sitting on the sideline as a defensive guy, and I'm watching our head coach completely lose his mind where he's ineffective for the next couple of minutes. And I'm saying to myself, well, why don't you go install the plays then? If this is so important to you, where you can't think on Sunday for 5 minutes a game, then you need to come out the head coach's office and walk down there to the offensive meeting room, and you need to install these plays. Because apparently they're not running it the way you want it run. And this is your offense. So
you don't think Vic Fangio is installing the defense?
Is Vic Fangio the defensive coordinator? Is he going into the defensive room and installing the defense? Is he standing there with the overhead projector and everybody's got their iPads out going through all the assignments? No, he's not. That's Ed Donatell who's installing the defense.
But Vic's calling it on Sunday.
But Vic is calling it on Sunday. And in some ways, I think there can't help but be a bit of a disconnect there. And having seen that play out in real life every week for the 6 years that I was a Seahawk with Mike Holmgren, I thought this is a formula that I don't think works. You want to call the plays, but you don't want to install the plays. You want to, you know, coach it up on Sunday, but you're not in the huddle on practice on Wednesday because you're the head coach.
But it's still...
it's his defense.
It's still his defense. It's still his, quote-unquote, defensive plays.
Right.
So... when he's given the game plan to go out and execute on Sunday, it's not like it's foreign at all to him.
Going to another Hall of Fame guy, going to Dick LeBeau.
Mm-hmm.
He called the defense. He installed the defense. He coached the defense. So no matter what the situation was defensively, Dick had a complete understanding top to bottom of every defensive player on the roster, who was on the field, what they were capable of, who understood, who slept in meetings, who paid attention in meetings, who asked questions in meetings. All those little nuances, those are important. And I think for head coaches who want to be play callers, something is lost in that process. He's upstairs doing conference calls with the media. He's meeting with the, you know, president and Joe Ellis and going over budget concerns. He's not installing it. He's not seeing Busby take extra notes or Justin Simmons, you know, probably not Justin Simmons, but sleeping in the back of the meeting. He's not seeing all those things that if he was in those meetings every single day, he would get all that insight and information from. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason why the defense has underperformed, but I'm just coming up with a couple of factors here to try to understand the situation a little bit better for us as fans of the Denver Broncos.
Okay. And what does that translate to on Sunday in terms of a points allowed difference?
Ooh, let's give it, let's put it into the point category.
Well,
is it 2.5 points a game, mm-hmm. almost a field goal a game? If we're going to say football is a game of inches, and most plays, most games turn on about 5 critical plays. And if I'm going to take my Mike Holmgren experience and extrapolate it to Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos, yeah, that's a field goal difference, because there was 4 to 5 minutes a game where Mike was incapable, not just of calling plays, but also of being a head coach. Now, I haven't seen Vic Fangio melt down the same way I've seen Mike Holmgren melt down. But if that is a similar situation, if there's 5 plays a game where he's on the headset asking what's going on upstairs because he can't see because he's on the sideline, which he doesn't like anyway, so he can't see his whole defense, and he didn't install it, and he didn't coach it up, and he doesn't know everybody on the field in that same way he did as a coordinator, yeah, there's a bit of a disconnect, and 4 or 5 plays can make a difference.
Well, of course. 4 or 5 plays, couple points. If you are correct, well, now start looking at these games over the last couple of years, that close games that they lost, final drives where they gave up points and lost. There's been at least, what, a handful of games that fall under that kind of a close finish? And if you're talking about 4 or 5 plays or a couple points difference, okay. Now you're seeing how big of an impact that makes. Okay, I never thought about it that way. I mean, you just shared something that I think myself and a lot of others had never thought of. Well, you'll get a chance when you do that second preseason game in the advance to getting ready for the game. Ask Vic about that.
I am looking forward to that.
Ask, you know, hey, this is what happened with us with Holmgren. Do you think the same thing happens here? I'd be fascinated to hear his answer.
I will be as well.
All right. Okay. That was cool. Took you inside a little bit. I like that. We got the Morning Brew coming up next. We'll hear from Vic Fangio about whether or not we'll see a different split this week when it comes to the quarterbacks. And, wow, the clown show that is the Rockies. They are now truly an MLB laughingstock. Details next.
And wellness.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep hiking, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
No, probably the starter would get more. You know, it'd be more 65, 25, what's left, 15. You know, 1, 2, and 3, something along those lines. You know, and then you flip it day by day, but it's 50-50 right now.
Play the 50-50 drinking game every time Vic Fangio says it. Be loaded.
I like his math, though. His math was great.
That's Chad Brown sitting in for Mark Schlereth.
Chad Brown.
Who's at the Fox Summit as they prepare for the upcoming football season. This week, would it make sense that after the first week in which the reps during practice were split pretty much 50-50, to have a different split this week, whereas, you know, today's a Teddy day, tomorrow's a Drew day, that kind of thing, where that guy's getting 65-70% of the snaps. Would that make sense as we move into week two?
For me, it absolutely makes sense, because not only are you giving a guy more opportunity to see what he has, But you also see more flaws if we get more reps. That's when things tend to go, you know, downhill for quarterbacks to know, hey, I've got these four plays this period. Look at the script, read them over, know what's coming, be on the same page, maybe even get a chance to whisper to a receiver or two. But when you're in there, if it's a 12-play period, and now you've got eight of those 12 plays, you can't, like, pre-program it that same way. And you've got to, it's a little bit more of a true test for each guy. So if they were to do it that way, and each guy got a little bit greater exposure, I'll call it, not only to the good, but also to the bad, I think that would help the coaches gain a little bit more insight and get a more deeper, detailed look.
Next on the Morning Brew.
It's such a tough balance because you're trying to get better out here. You're trying to win more than five games. You're trying to have a heck of a season. So you're trying to get better on the defense and offensive side, but you're also trying to take care of each other. It's a really fine line. Like, it's hard in the NFL. You're trying to work hard, put a guy in the ground, but not put him in the ground, but keep him up. It's a lot of details that go into it. So we haven't had a full-fledged fight breakout, but we're day three. Usually about a week into camp, everyone starts getting a little grouchy. Coach says it's going to be a 2.5-hour practice. We throw the full pads on. You guys want to be there for that day because I'll probably be in the middle of it.
Ooh, Dalton Reisner. Fight.
Camp fights.
You ever been in a camp fight?
Of course. Of course. You play
what's
as long
camp,
as I played.
What's a camp fight like?
It's kind of what he just described. It's somebody in the equation not understanding how to, and if you watch any NFL films, we got to practice like pros. We got to learn how to practice. You've heard coaches say these things, and that's what Dalton Reisner is kind of getting at there. How do you have a physical practice with no pads? How do you practice fast with no pads? How do you get better while still taking care of and honoring your teammate and your brother out there? Because the one team the Broncos won't play this year is the Denver Broncos. They have to find a way to take care of them, but how do you be competitive in the midst of all of that? So as an older guy with some young guy trying to make a name for himself or not understanding the tempo of the drill, every once in a while, yeah, you just got to shoot a palm to somebody's throat to let them know, hey, man, slow down.
Oh, so you would start these things?
I would try to start them and finish them in just one blow.
Ooh.
Let's have an understanding here. We can do this one of two ways, young fella. We can understand the tempo of the drill and how we're going to practice here. And it's not necessarily about you bending to me and letting me win the rep, but there's a way we can practice and get better without all that extra stuff that you're doing over there, young guy. Oof. Learn how to practice. Learn how to be a pro, man. I got this thing figured out. You should, too.
Take them out in one shot. Way to go, Danielson. Okay, next on the Morning Brew.
Righty versus righty, Antonio Santos, second inning of relief, and Tim swings at the first pitch, hits it a mile to deep left, looking up, gonna go, and a 7-1 lead here in the sixth.
Padres radio, Rocky's actually playing a pretty competitive weekend of baseball down in San Diego, but the story over the weekend was the trade deadline going down with Trevor Story not getting dealt, and he was very unhappy about it, so much so that he pulled himself out of the lineup on Friday. We had a big debate last week with Simone Biles choosing to tap out, and there was a whole discussion about mental health and responsibility to the team and everything like that. I get it. This is a much different scale. Olympics versus the Sad Sack Rockies. But are you cool with Trevor Story being so upset he wasn't dealt that he said, nope, not going to play tonight. Not feeling it.
I'm not cool with it. But when the organization has been run as poorly as the Rockies have, I can understand where Trevor Story is coming from. I have no idea what the conversations were between him and the front office and what expectations were and all that. But clearly, he was disappointed and must have had some sense of something was going to happen to be as upset as he was. So, yeah, you're a professional. Your job is to go out there and play. You, Trevor Story, you make a ton of money to go out there and play. But the Rockies, you find a way to keep screwing these things up with your best players over and over and over. So I can see where the frustration from a Trevor Story perspective wins the day rather than your sense of professionalism.
And I'm trying to wrap my mind around the whole explanation for why they didn't move him. They know they're not going to re-sign him. Apparently, they just look at it that they're okay with just getting one compensation pick that they'll get probably between the second and third round, hopefully. Maybe it might be between the third and fourth round.
but they're okay with trying to put all their eggs in one player basket rather than make it a trade in which you'll probably be able to get at least two or three prospects in return. And Chad, here's the other thing that really, really freaks me out, worries me, and makes me laugh at the same time, is that the Rockies got so much grief for what happened with the Nolan Arenado trade that they are literally gun-shy about making a deal like this because they don't think they can make a good deal. And the last thing they want is to make a deal that gets ridiculed again from coast to coast in the baseball world.
So we're ridiculing them now for being too afraid to be ridiculed to actually pull off a good deal.
Correct.
Okay, so it's a double ridicule.
Double ridicule.
They deserve it.
Double ridicule. Ladies and gentlemen, your Colorado Rockies. Next on the Morning Brew.
It's been activated.
All right, NBA free agency set to start later today. A couple of bit of news yesterday. Kawhi Leonard and Chris Paul both opting out of their player options, but both expected to re-sign with their teams. Where are you at when it comes to the Nuggets and how they should approach free agency? Should they be bold? Should they be aggressive? Or is this a team where, you know, the core and the pieces are in place?
I think the core is strong. I don't know if all the pieces are in place. I think from a general manager perspective, regardless of what sport, you've always got to find ways to try to improve your team. And then, you know, you also have to look around. Who do we have to get through to win a championship? And Russell Westbrook, AD, and LeBron James have just teamed up. Now, do you have enough firepower to deal with those guys? So your thoughts about your team, you know, I've said this before, can never just take place in a vacuum. You've got to look around the rest of your conference and your division. And now you're looking up at the Lakers from a pure talent and that kind of the big three perspective. Who is your big three? Can you match them?
Well, the thing you got to think about is you're counting on Jamal Murray being healthy by the playoffs. Fine. Okay. You give me a healthy Jamal Murray by the playoffs, I'll sign up for that. But the problem is how do you navigate through the long season and put yourself in a position where, first of all, you make the playoffs, and second of all, have, you know, an okay matchup in the first round to really maximize Murray's, you know, return to full health. Man, they got to do something about their backcourt. I mean, yeah. Right now you got a backcourt that, you know, is Faku, PJ Dozier, you know, Shaq Harrison, Marcus Howard. I mean, Monte Morris. I mean, that's just not going to get it done over the long haul of a regular season. So they've got to address the backcourt. Is re-signing Will Barton a must? He opted out of his contract to become a free agent. Will they bring him back? Do they have to bring him back? Tell you what, these are some topics, some questions that we'll raise with James Merrillat, who is always following the Nuggets very closely. We'll visit with James coming up next. Chad Brown in for Mark Schlereth, who's at the Fox Summit.
Chad Brown.
James Merrillat is the chairman of DenverFan.com. He joins us now. Good morning, James. We're just talking about the start of NBA free agency. What would be on your Nuggets wish list?
Well, boy, I think they need to figure out, first of all, how they're going to replace Will Barton and Jermichael Green, two guys who have opted out. I don't think they should replace them by trying to bring either one of them back. I think they were both disappointments, but that is some depth on the team, on the roster that'll be gone now in terms of, you know, Will can play the two and the three. Jermichael Green can play both front court positions. And so I think you got to find somebody that can fill those voids. But in terms of skill set, I still think they need someone who can just, you know, spot up and shoot. And then I still think they need someone who can be a defensive stopper that, hey, Chris Paul is going wild, or, you know, Dame Lillard is hitting things from 10 feet beyond the arc. Somebody you can put on him and he can go out there and at least slow him down. Those are the two things. It's sort of like the Broncos and quarterback and middle linebacker. It seems like they've been searching for those two spots for a long, long time. But that would be at the top of my priority list.
All right, James, out in L.A. with the Lakers, they added Russell Westbrook to AD and LeBron James. Do you think that has any effect on the Nuggets' plans this offseason, what they do, particularly in free agency?
I don't. I think it should, but I don't think it'll affect them. You know, I'm not expecting a ton here. I think they're going to kind of stand pat, and the excuse is already built in, right? Well, Jamal was hurt, so once he comes back, you know, then we'll make our push. So I don't think they're going to do a lot. I don't think they're going to be big spenders. I mean, if you look at the guys who have left here since they were in the Western Conference Finals, it's kind of a depressing thought. Meanwhile, other teams have gotten better, right? We saw Phoenix, they got a lot better. Utah got better. The Warriors are going to be better when Klay Thompson comes back. You knew the Lakers wouldn't stand pat. So the rest of the conference continues to try and improve, and the Nuggets just sort of rest on their laurels of, hey, we got the Joker, we got Jamal, and we got Michael Porter Jr., who will someday blossom into a star. We just keep, you know, hearing that. So I don't expect them to do a lot, but they should. I mean, the window was there. It was push your chips in time. And they just don't seem like that they're willing to do that.
Visiting with James Merrillat, is there any way you can look at the Rockies not trading Trevor Story and kind of see the wisdom in it?
Yeah. I don't think – here's the thing, and I wrote this, man, probably about a month ago at DenverFan.com. I don't think this is an organization or franchise that needs to do a total rebuild. And I know that sounds crazy since they're having one of the worst road seasons in the history of baseball. But if you totally tore it down and tried to rebuild, Mike, how long would it take you to get to where you've got this young staff, right? I mean, you've got Marquez and Sensatella and Gray, and you got a pretty good starting rotation. It would take them a long, long time to get to there. They've got a lot of really nice position players. It's like, okay, go out in the offseason and add a bat or two and, you know, add a closer. Easier said than done, but it's three pieces. Go spend the Nolan money to do that, and all of a sudden I think this team would be back to being competitive again. I mean, they're pretty darn good at home, so that tells us something. You don't want to put too much in that, but it tells us something. They're terrible on the road. Well, that tells us something, too, but you don't also want to put too much stock in it and say, oh, we got to blow it up and start over.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Not trading Trevor Story because you think you can re-sign Trevor Story, I get.
Yeah, that's what I think they're doing.
But the fact that he pulled himself out of the game on Friday and Trevor never says anything, and he came out and said how unhappy he was that he wasn't traded. It doesn't sound like a guy who's eager to stay here.
No, but it's also, you know, what were the offers that were on the table, and how does that translate to what were the what will the offers be when he hits free agency? So he may be singing a different tune when the Rockies put the biggest contract in front of him. So I get it, and there's certainly some fences to be mended. And hey, this is an organization. I know Jeff Breidich is gone, Mike, but it's an organization that, you know, has shown they have a hard time smoothing things over once a player gets upset. But to me, that would make a lot of sense. I would have kept Trevor. I would have kept John Gray. I think you try and keep this core together and add two or three pieces. I honestly don't think they're that far away, and I know that sounds crazy. But to me, it's all about that starting rotation, and I think it's good enough to compete, so you just got to build around that.
All right, it does sound crazy to me, just to be clear on that. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's go to the Broncos and the quarterback battle. What is your take from the first four practices?
I think Drew Lock's clearly winning this competition. I think coming into it, we all kind of knew what we were getting with guys, right? Like Teddy was going to be, you know, steady Teddy 2 yards, and Drew Lock was going to be the roller coaster. He was going to be up, and he was going to be down. And he's been a little bit of that, and he had the one practice where, you know, it was a little bit ugly, but he's avoided the big mistakes, right? He hasn't thrown the big picks. Well, Teddy has done that. And Drew has had the flash moments. Most of the wow moments have come from Drew Lock. So I think the fact that he's cut down on the big mistakes. Pat Shurmur told us during the offseason he's going to evaluate this based on who makes mistakes and are those mistakes colossal mistakes. Well, Drew Lock hasn't had those. So I think right now he's clearly winning. We'll see if he can continue it today, but I think it may not be Secretariat in the Belmont, but he's out in front.
Do you think that Vic Fangio has to have a different approach this week when it comes to the quarterbacks, where maybe today is a Teddy Bridgewater day and tomorrow is a Drew Lock day when it comes to who gets the overwhelming majority of the reps?
I think that would surely make it a lot simpler to evaluate when they're bouncing around and it's in and out and it's, you know, from one drill to the next, and sometimes within the drills, it is a little bit, you know, hard to keep track of who's working with who and who are they going against and all those kind of things. So I do think that would simplify things. I think it would allow the quarterbacks to get in a little bit more of a rhythm, you know, working with the same guys up front, usually the same skill guys. I think that would be a good approach. But, look, I don't think they should be doing this at all. So they're not following my advice on how to handle the quarterback situation, but I'm with you, Mike. I think that would be simpler. I think it would be fair, and I think it would make a lot more sense.
James Merrillat, the chairman of DenverFan.com. Check out everything he has going on this week with his stable of writers, including me. I'll have a column up and running by tomorrow. I'll get to work on that a little bit later on, James, okay?
All right.
I mean, you're a taskmaster, so I know you'll be all over me.
That's why I'm the chairman.
You know, tapping your wrist. Where's my column? All right, thanks, James.
Can't wait.
All right, James Merrillat at DenverFan.com. Coming up next, Chad will tell you why he will be in position to be the first person to call the winner of the Teddy Bridgewater-Drew Luck competition. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.